This is episode 35 of the Star Wars Report podcast. This is a special Clone Wars edition as we discuss the episode Bounty and all the latest Clone Wars news coming from the Star Wars fan community. Stay tuned. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm one of your hosts for this evening, Riley Blanton. Welcome, welcome. Let's bring in our other host. Bethany is with us once again.
And I'm here for some Bounty.
Yes, Morallo evolved. Morallo wasn't in this episode. It was sad, but there were a bunch of great bounty hunters in this episode. But before we get into that, he's here. We're pleased that he was able to make it just in time, Mr. Mark Herleman.
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you send a bunch of bounty hunters after me.
I would miss your new beautiful microphone, too. But yes, our bounty hunters did seem to do their job. Is Whistler okay? That's called baiting.
I'm just waiting for the mic. It's not...
I do that to you.
Whistler's busy at the moment. He's like totally underneath the desk trying to figure out what's wrong.
I apologize. I do that to you every time, Mark. It's like just the second you hit the mute and microphone, sit back in the chair and then and throw it to Mark and go. We're doing something a little special. We're going to be talking about each of the Clone Wars episodes leading up to the season finale, hence the kind of cool BBC countdown music as the return of Darth Maul happens tomorrow night as we record this special podcast episode. The return of the revenge of the slicing in half of the Darth Maul of the Sam Witwer on the Today Show, all coming up.
On Darth Maul the Longhorn.
I like that.
Wow. So we've got a lot to talk about. What we're going to do is something that we usually just talk a little bit about the Clone Wars at the end of each episode, or kind of just as we feel like it, as we tend to do here on the Star Wars Report. But these episodes really... they're episodes of significance, of conscience, and they're cool episodes. So we're going to be talking about them, kind of maybe some little mini episodes. Bethany had the great idea. We're also going to just go through our Clone Wars news in episode 35. And then a few days later, you guys will be hearing in the feed. We'll also be recording that tonight, the regular episode of the Star Wars Report 36. That'll be coming up next. Let's talk about it. Sam Witwer is voicing Darth Maul in this weekend's edition of the Clone Wars. I don't know. Some people may know this by now. just a few people.
A scotch.
Has he been doing like two interviews a day or something?
Something like that. It started with this morning. When you've done the Today Show, then when the middle-aged people are calling their grandkids, hey, did you know that Star Wars is back on TV? Shot on the Today Show this morning. And I don't know why old people always... all their words. Anyway, Sam Witwer's been back. We've talked about it off and on a little bit, and it's interesting. I was just commenting to Bethany earlier before the show started that I think it's kind of funny that once you've heard the interview, he's kind of got not the canned answer, but the same answers, because there's only so many ways you can answer. So what's it like to voice Darth Maul in the Clone Wars? Were the fans happy about it? Was there some, after you've done, you move from blogs and different other interviews, then you move up to G4, the Attack of the Show, and then you graduate to the Today Show. And I think this is the first time the Clone Wars has been featured on the Today Show. That might be more significant than Sam Witwer just voicing Maul.
That is interesting. I do think that the Clone Wars is gaining a wider audience and a wider reach of, even if it's not an audience, people know about it.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of, we've talked about it, I think it goes right into that promotion that Lucasfilm was doing with The Phantom Menace 3D.
Yep.
It's very conveniently timed. That's been getting a lot of attention. And so with a character like Darth Maul coming back, it's getting the public eye. It's catching the attention of people outside the hardcore fan community, and it's definitely ringing some bells. Now, Mark, what was your impression of the overall? We haven't really gotten to talk about it, and I was listening to you. I'm getting envious. I'll tell you, I've been hearing you on all these awesome Beyond the Films episodes with your amazing commentary with Nathan Butler, and I think I'm getting host envy now. But I haven't had a chance to actually hear your thoughts on Sam Witwer and Darth Maul returning in the Clone Wars, airing tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern. or 8 o'clock Eastern. I'm not sure what their time is. But what do you think of this all?
Oh, Sam the man. And you know, the more I watch him do his little interviews and stuff, the more I just have more respect for him. You know, seeing anyone that does these kind of projects and finding out that, you know, they're fans of it too, and to hear their, you know, little inner geekdom. When him and Clancy met up, I think it was one of the interviews. It could have been in one of the insiders even, where he was talking about how he was getting a signature from Clancy. And he was just like, this should be the other way around. I was just, oh man, it's awesome. But the fact that he gets to play Darth Maul, when you watch the videos of how he's projecting himself and getting into it, the way his, you know, his face contorts as he's given the lines, I'm so excited to see where they go with this. I mean, there's the visionaries aspect of how it looks like they're sticking to the art style of how Maul came back in that Infinity comic.
Mm-hmm.
And if it ends right overall in the Clone Wars with Maul, and he ends up living it somehow, the Visionaries comic could actually find its way into see continuity,
uh-huh.
which for me would be cool because I always liked that.
It's another story. Example, Mark, of your beloved EU creeping its way into the Clone Wars.
Well, and another example of George Lucas himself bringing S-level canon into C-level canon. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, as an Infinity story, it falls by the wayside. It's like a story that never happened in a sense, or you know, well, yeah. In Infinities it is, but so it's cool when a G-level thing like Darksaber, for example, you know, that was only seen in video games where you'd see a dark lightsaber, and then they throw that in and suddenly, oh wow, yeah, we can have Darksabers now, you know, George has okayed it, you know. So it's cool how in that regards too the EU and George's stuff play off each other. But I was mentioning in the chat the Longhorns of Maul. That was one of the things that perplexed me right off the bat was, okay, they're long, they're short. You know, he's suddenly very horn conscious, if you will, and started trimming, I guess. But it's one of those things where I kind of question, like, why the real need to even show the horns? Is that to just show that time's passed? I mean, it's pretty obvious time's passed. I don't know. It's one of those things that I have questions just based off the imagery alone.
Well, when Aaron wrote his Clone Wars trailer speculation about Darth Maul, and he showcased the picture of the Longhorns versus the Shorthorns, and mentioned them getting filed, I just kind of automatically assumed where this is sort of an addition to, not a changing of continuity, but an addition to what we know about this species, where their horns actually regularly grow, but if they don't keep them filed down, they might break off, or they don't look good, or it's simply just like a fashion statement, or, you know, anything from it's something they have to do to keep them from breaking, all the way to it's just a vanity thing. And by showing that Darth Maul hasn't done that up to a certain point shows that he either hasn't had the tools, the time, or the right mental state to take care of himself physically. So that's kind of, mm-hmm. I just went at it with that assumption. So I was actually very interested to hear people kind of questioning it.
It makes you wonder about Savage. It's like, are you going to trim yours next? Come on, peer pressure. Come on, Savage.
Yeah.
One thing I like about this is, of course, most of you guys know that we met Sam Witwer at Dragon Con last mm-hmm. year and talked to him about this and speculated afterwards that we bet he's talking about Darth Maul. That would be so cool and weird.
And we weren't, we were one of the early ones to kind of hint at this, but we weren't the first.
Yeah,
I remember going back, and Bethany, you showed me a YouTube video where he had talked about it months ago.
Yeah, no one picked it up. There was like five views on that, and I just found it a couple days ago. But it was set about a month before our Dragon Con interview or so, where he was actually talking to a fan about it. And I was like, how did people not find this? You know, because it didn't really circulate much.
Well, it didn't really come.
How did this slide under the radar?
The big dogs didn't pick it up until a little bit later, but it's been pretty common knowledge. And what it looks like is, from what he's been saying more recently, is that Darth Maul definitely, he's not a one and done this season. He is definitely coming back for season 5 and season 6. My theory is that season 6 will indeed be the last season of the Clone Wars. We'll talk more about that after the break.
Well, anyway, something that I just wanted to mention was Sam Witwer's a really cool guy, so it's nice to have him voicing a character. He's one of those people that you could actually walk up to and talk to him about the character fan to fan. not just, oh, it's just a gig. You know, I made money with this.
Yeah, yeah. Take a listen to this.
Something is rising. Something sinister.
Is that you, brother? You, brother? You, brother? You, brother? You, brother?
Master Yoda.
Fear you are in danger. I do. From the dead. An old enemy has awakened, seeking vengeance.
The time has come. Become a true knight.
Stagger!
Always remember I am fear. Always remember I am a hunter. Jedi!
It is you.
This world will burn.
There it is.
Prepare yourself, sister.
Season 4 of The Clone Wars returns with the amazing season finale that looks planned. I couldn't be more excited, and yeah, and couldn't be more excited. I know a lot of people missed Peter Serafinowicz and wished he had voiced him, yeah. But I would feel the same way if it weren't Sam Witwer.
Always remember, I am fear,
which is very similar to the dialogue that he said before. We in the Phantom Menace. That mean, and kind of remember those tone poems.
Where yeah, he's
like, fear.
Yeah. Hey, do you think you could find
fear
that?
Fear is my.
Really like that.
I can do that.
Okay. Yeah, I've always liked that, and was kind of sad it wasn't in the actual movie. But yes, it's nice to. What will be interesting for me for the character of Darth Maul is, actually, he'll have a voice more this time, and he was so very silent during the Phantom Menace that it'll be a slight adjustment, but Sam Witwer, I think he can pull it off really well. And what do you guys in the chat think? I'm curious.
Just for what he's done so far, I would absolutely agree. Let's jump to next story, which is something that I thought about and then decided very briefly touch on, and we'll talk about it more in our review of the episode. Simon Pegg comes to the Clone Wars playing famous Empire Strikes Back bounty hunter Dengar. Dengar now has a British accent. I guess I was fairly public with my not personal disapproval. I guess my disappointment in the way it was handled in terms of who they chose and why they chose him, and it seemed a little bit like a very political move from Lucasfilm to choose someone who has the kind of pro-original trilogy but anti-prequel card that a lot of geeks follow. I think it's very much a political move on them, but it's kind of been beaten to death in the community already. I'm sure everyone knows. People either feel... it's rather been polarizing. Some people really feel personally offended that Simon Pegg would ever be near anything in Star Wars, and then other people... there's kind of an anti-reaction. It's kind of the same old fan community, Star Wars fan, you extremes on opposite ends where, you know, well, you are a hypocrite for being a hypocrite for being a hypocrite for being a hypocrite.
You hypocrite.
That's the secret of life right there. Everybody's going to be a hypocrite at one point or another. You just need to get over it.
A mantra you often repeat,
hypocrite.
Mark.
Sorry, I just love saying that sometimes.
Although he did do a good job in the episode, we'll talk about more of that in the episode in just a minute. But let's talk about this episode of the Star Wars Report being sponsored by our good friends, Toy Hut. Toy Hut is your place to find all kinds of awesome Star Wars action figures and memorabilia. Like...
Speaking of Dengar, I really liked this Star Wars Saga Dengar.
Well, that's so funny. We were just talking about Dengar, and you just so happened that Toy Hut.
Sure, yeah. But anyway, this is a really cool little figure from, of course, the executor meeting.
Executive meeting. Star Wars meeting.
Yeah, sure. But anyway, it's only $3.75, which I thought was really cool for a nice little action figure.
Get your older Dengar, who's just a little, slightly out of shape.
yeah.
That was one of the things I noticed, though, that I actually liked was how they skinnied down Dengar, you know, when he was in there. I actually like that a lot, actually. I was like, he looks younger. He's small.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought he did a great job, and I couldn't complain at all. I mean, actually, here's a little sample from Entertainment Weekly.
Okay, Boba, the cargo is secure.
Max, you and Heisling stay there. I'll be in the engine room with Boss. I sent the new girl and Denga to the back.
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling.
Looks like we're secure in the back platform together.
Wonderful.
Hello, darling. It would be funny.
Asajj Ventress's sort of just barely veiled disgust for all of the other bounty hunters to begin with.
Yeah, I love it.
And let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Snatch?
No.
There's a character in that called Bullet Tooth Tony, and I swear, Dengar, the way Peg plays him, that's the character I think of him. Just that totally awesome assassin that you do not want to mess with, that cannot die. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. And so let's talk about it. Season 4, episode 20, right? Am I right? 20, 21?
Yes.
20.
Bounty.
Bounty. We don't need that scum. That was more bounty hunters. I love me some bounty hunters. As a matter of fact, it was season 2 with the episode Bounty Hunters, which had the introduction of the really cool Sombrero de Muerta bounty hunter.
Yes.
I'm blanking on his name. Dave Filoni voices him, though.
Oh, really?
Ebo.
I totally forgot.
Imbo.
That.
Imbo.
I completely forgot.
Lebo.
Right behind me.
The bounty hunter Lebo.
Chris is going to like this.
It was a great episode. I would say I'll just give my initial impressions overall. I thought Simon Pegg, for all the controversy surrounding it, overall, I think as a voice actor and just as the role, he did a very good job. It was a little odd to hear Dengar with a British accent, but I could get used to it very quickly, and I thought he did.
Did he ever talk in Empire Strikes Back?
No, he did not. And so my voice kind of came from, I kind of attributed my brain kind of attributed a Clint Eastwood type of accent to him.
me too.
Yeah, having read the Tales of the Bounty Hunter story, I'm trying to remember the title, but I loved that, where it was, there's actually an MC Chris song about Dengar. I don't know if you knew that, Mark.
I recall you showing me, because I like the Fett's.
Yeah, yeah. One about Zuckuss. We need Zuckuss to show up now. Where's the love for Zuckuss?
Yeah.
Where's the Zuckuss Ruckus song, man? Zuckuss Ruckus.
I, too, actually really liked the job that Simon Pegg did voicing Dengar. At first, I wasn't so sure of it, not because of how I feel about Simon Pegg or liking and not liking the prequels and the Clone Wars or that sort of thing, but because I've had this view of Simon Pegg as being the comedian. A great comedian, yes, but Dengar just didn't strike me that way at all. So I was trying to sort of reconcile this mental image of Clint Eastwood versus comedian type. But he did a fantastic job voicing him. He's a very
tremendous,
talented voice actor.
And jumping more to last episode, some really significant character development happening with Asajj Ventress, and I would say that definitely continued in this episode. And by the way, if you don't know, when we're talking about the Clone Wars, there will be spoilers. So, fair warning. Exactly, fair warning. But when Asajj Ventress chooses to spare the little girl and just kind of literally throws Boba under the bus, or I guess into the chest, whatever you want to put it. So she was ruthless on one hand, but chose to spare the young girl based on, I think, her personal experiences. And I guess it's kind of selective moralism, but it's moralism. It's not pure evil. And so they're adding some dimensions to the character of Asajj Ventress. Mark, you're, as a longtime EU fan, and you know, keeping up with Asajj Ventress's character, from the EU perspective, how similar is her character progression and her journey following the way it was in the comics?
It's a little different. She came more across as a part of the Separatist team than what we're seeing right now. I mean, even the Gendi Clone Wars kind of made her more soldier, than what we're seeing now. Now she's more assassin. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's one of those things where I could see it still working. I definitely see her character getting closer to what we see in Obsession, which, as far as the EU is concerned, that's her swan song. No one knows what happened to her after that. She just kind of gets on a shuttle. Everybody thinks she's dead and disappears. You know, she's like, I'm out of here. And so it's like I see her character kind of getting to that point. You know, when she went and rejoined the Night Sisters, for all intents and purposes, that could have been after that point, but there's no Alpha, so I don't know how that's ever going to rectify, if it can even be rectified. But I was conflicted with this episode. I loved last episode, Massacre. That was a great episode. This one was awesome. I liked the bounty hunter aspects of it, but it felt like Boss kind of rushed Asajj into being a bounty hunter, and that whole part, I don't know. I didn't quite see Asajj walking into it so readily, I guess. So that kind of didn't seem in character, or I guess it's a side of her character that I wasn't expecting to see.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I felt about it, where I was surprised at kind of how directionless she seemed. I mean, she came out of being betrayed by different people, and the Night Sisters were pretty much wiped out, at least to some degree. We're not sure to what extent yet.
Her clan was, anyway.
Yeah, her clan.
Someone had to survive, but...
Yeah, but it shows just how directionless and purposeless almost she is at first. And I think that was sort of the whole direction of the episode at the end, where she now finds her direction, whatever that may be, from the experiences that she had. Though I was kind of interested in what Riley called her moral selectivism or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what Lang Winry said in the chat as going from chaotic evil to chaotic neutral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think she seemed to almost have sort of an instant dislike of Boba Fett?
They're not really buddy buddies, are they?
Why do you think that's the case? Do you think it's perhaps because he is a clone?
I don't think she knows it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I don't think she knows. I'd say more age. Probably she's not going to take orders from a little kid.
Hmm.
Yeah. I was about to do a Asajj Ventress impression, and then I realized, don't do that, Riley. Don't do that. I think it's mostly age. It's a discrimination and assuming that he can't do anything because of his age. And I think that's a big message in Star Wars, is that it doesn't matter your age or experience. You can get in there and make a difference, whether it's for the good guys or bad guys, as we learned with a young, intrepid Anakin Skywalker and now a young and intrepid Boba Fett.
What did you guys think of his armor?
I loved it. It was the classic Sam Witwer.
Tasteful.
Did anyone else notice that it looked like the Sith Stalker armor? I mean, that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, it did. I don't know. That was so cool. And it was very interesting. It's interesting to see references within references within references in the Clone Wars. You may have a movie reference, an inside Clone Wars reference, a reference to the Gendy series.
We had a total New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
References to the EU, that sort of thing.
Yeah, great, yeah.
Opening scene in the bar, I was almost like, is this actually the same cantina? But the contrast of all the aliens in there, I really had the vibe that Asajj Ventress isn't very much human. I don't know why, but seeing her with all the other aliens, she doesn't look very much human. That's as close as I get to wording it. I mean, she looks more alien now than ever. I mean, you look at her next to other human character models, and I don't know, the tininess of her chin just is so much more exaggerated. I know Dooku's the same way, but I don't know. That scene with all the other aliens really put that into contrast for me.
Yeah,
definitely. I guess... The character's definitely progressed a lot in this episode, and I think we've moved along, and we're pitching, hurtling towards tomorrow's episode, and I think the amount of plot that has moved in the past two episodes is the amount of plot that usually happens sometimes in 6, 7, 8, 12 episodes in a whole Clone Wars season, and that's what I want to see. And so I'm going to right now present this theory.
Ooh.
We already know that they're working on season 5. I've heard fairly reliably from a few different sources. I'm trying to remember specifically where this was coming from, but I do have like a vague memory.
Which is sort of hints.
Of them working on season 6, because I've heard of the terminology a lot of the actors have used when they say season five and beyond. And but I do think from a recent interview that Sam Witwer had about Darth Maul, when he specifically says that, and it was on the Today Show this morning, where he specifically stated that Darth Maul doesn't end with this season. He moves on to next season and beyond. I think that, and that he has, and he said, and I will loosely quote Sam Witwer as to saying that at first he wants to start out for with slight spoiler alert, since but people probably have seen the episode by the time they hear this. Mm-hmm. His goal is revenge against Obi-Wan, and that'll kind of be this season's finale. But then he kind of realizes as he gets out into the big bad world that there are some bigger fish to fry. I mean, you can kill Obi-Wan, but you know that's not where your career has to. You got to think bigger. You got to be a little bit grander in your perspective. So why not maybe join forces with the remaining Night Sisters against the Separatists and the Republic, and maybe form your own little
Sith rebellion. His interview in that, he talked about how there was a position for Maul originally in the plan, that he was supposed to be a general. He could have been Grievous for all intents and purposes. And that really, because they mentioned how he was a tactician, and that wasn't something that I actually attributed to Maul. And then when they put it like that, that there was a plan for Maul, it did make sense. I'm currently reading Restraint, and that too plays into all this. I'm actually liking what they've done with the character. After reading Darth Plagueis, I was kind of worried that they had molded him more into just a complete tool for the Sith, and that he really had lost a lot of his personality. But Lucino managed to, with the short stories, keep that depth there. And then now we're seeing in the Clone Wars a whole other side. I mean, yeah, he's a shattered psyche, but yet there's still aspects of him that are still completely whole. So I can't wait to see how it's going to play out. And Sam obviously has thought a lot about this.
Yeah, yes. Well, and he's voicing it. We know he's still voicing for the Clone Wars, which means he's easily voicing this season 5 stuff, but we know that they've been voicing season 5 stuff for months. I would say that he may be getting ready to voice season 6 stuff, and that's why I think there might actually create a this is kind of me wishful thinking, but I do think it, that they're creating a more solid plot thread that's going to carry through the end of this season, throughout season 5, and carry through the end of season 6 in a finale that ends towards, or maybe even beyond, Revenge of the Sith.
Because I've been saying it's going to go past Revenge of the Sith for a while. I just, that's where I'm going. But I think, wasn't it season 3 that they said that they had 5 more seasons worth of scripts done? I mean, that would put us up towards 8 seasons if that's the case.
That's true if they're doing that. And it's really the only Star Wars that George Lucas is working on, possibly. Tune into the next episode of the Star Wars Report. We've got some new possible new information and maybe theories on the live action series, but that'll be in the next episode. So let's go ahead and let's close this conversation and begin to give our final thoughts. And we'll be reviewing next week Brothers. I believe it's Brothers. I shouldn't put that unless I know the title. But with the next season, episode 21, yes. We'll be reviewing that and talking about the return of Darth Maul. I am certainly super excited.
I'd like to end on the note of, it's obvious that Darth Maul is not just bitter. He seems completely just filled with a poisonous rage towards the Jedi, and particularly towards Obi-Wan Kenobi. I am very interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
For me, it all boils down to them legs. I'm excited to see him. Star Wars Insider kind of made it seem like the Force is holding the legs together, and it's all a bunch of trash and pain. So I'm excited to see how they're going to do it, and I can't wait to see where Maul goes from here.
Oh, man. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this is the explanation, I think, needs to be a really good, really profound one that really delves into the depths of the importance of something like bringing back a character like Darth Maul. I mean, it's a serious business.
Well, is Palpatine going to find out? And is there going to be like a race for Palpatine and the Jedi to get to Maul first? I mean, yeah, there's so many things we could play this.
And what happens if Count Dooku finds out? Or even Asajj Ventress? How will she feel?
It's a mystery. That's going to bring this episode of the Star Wars Report to a close. Episode 35 in the can. Our discussion of Season 4, Episode 20, Bounty, on Star Wars. Man, It's only getting better, and I once again really return to why I do love the Clone Wars so much. A lot of exciting stuff happening. We'll be back next week talking all about Darth Maul's return and what it means. If you want to contact us, it's very simple. Give your thoughts on the return of Darth Maul. Maybe we can read some fan feedback next week. StarWarsReport@gmail.com is our email address. Facebook.com/StarWarsReport is our place where you can get into discussion and fights and arguments and all that kind of fun stuff. Twitter.com/StarWarsReport. Let's give a quick plug. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter personally as my little mumblings that are not always necessarily Star Wars related, at the Riley Guy. Bethany?
I'm on Twitter as @ALNWin, and if you can find me without me spelling it, I'll give you another free rainbow. Mark, yeah. What about you?
I'm at IllogicalRogue2 on the Twitter.
All right, and people should follow you for your mumblings and ramblings on the expanded universe and all kind of the fun that happens in your family life, all kind of cool stuff that we talk about.
Random posing of action figures. Yeah. It's exciting.
There you go. So that's it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.